Well, Lamed Beis, Amid Beis, in these Gemaras, Islamid Beis, 32b1. It's like 10 lines in the top. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines in the top of the page.
Daniel getting married.
What?
Daniel. When you get married.
Last week. Okay, anyway. Amid Avashi, Avashi said. Afilu leman di Omar, this again, we're speaking about respecting parents, respecting rabbis, respecting elders, respecting all that. And the Gemara is discussing if you could forgive, if you could renounce your own honor. And the last thing we learned last week was that because it's your Torah, that you learned it becomes your knowledge, you could renounce your honor for Torah. Okay? But Dhamma Ravashi Ravashi said, Afilu leman di Omar, even according to the opinion that says, Harav shemochel al kveide, that a teacher who renounces his honor. Kveide mochel, his honor is renounced. But nasi shemochel al kveide, a nasi, a Jewish leader, that renounces his honor, and kveide mochel. It's not considered renounced. Okay, a rabbi could, these two lines we learned last week yet. A rabbi could, but the head of the Jewish people can't.
What's up? We're talking about Rabbi Sarai.
Again, respect. Yeah. Respecting the elders if they can renounce their honor and glory. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. May I still ask you a question on this din? There's a story with these three rabbis, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Tzadik. They were reclining, meaning they were eating, and the meal of Rabbi Gamliel's son. Okay, it was a wedding meal. What happens? Rabbi Gamliel, the father of the groom, was going around pouring drinks for everybody, like people do. Nasan akeser Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Gamliel poured a cup for Rabbi Eliezer. V'lo natlu. He didn't take it. Why didn't he take it? Because Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, the leader of the Jewish people. And Rabbi Eliezer didn't feel it's right that Rabbi Gamliel should be serving him. Okay?
Wouldn't refusing that kind of be worse?
No, he felt it was disrespectful. Nasal Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Gamliel gave Rabbi Eliezer refused it. So he came to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Gamliel poured Rabbi Yeshua a cup. V'kibli, and he did accept it. Amalei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer turned to Rabbi Yeshua, and he said to him, Maza Yeshua. What is this? You can call my first name, he's his colleague. What is this Yeshua? Anu Yeshvin, v'Rabbi Gamliel, v'Rabbi Ma'emid o'mashka aleinu. And we're sitting, Rabbi Gamliel, the eminent one, is serving us. He said, why do you let him serve you? Amalei, so he answered, Rabbi Yeshua answered him like this, Matzinu gadol mimenu sheshimish. We find somebody even greater than Gamliel that served people. Who was that? Avram gadol hador hayu. Avram was the God, Avram Avinu was the, you know, the leader of the generation. V'hu emed aleihem, and page Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, 15 lines in the top, so 20 lines in the top. And he was serving the angels that came to him. So what did he say to him? Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Lezer, listen, you know, if Avraham Avinu was able to serve the angels, Rabbi Gamliel can serve us, it's okay. So and then he says, V'shem etemu, maybe the reason why Avraham Avinu did it, because Kamalache Sharis Nimiloi, that he thought there were angels, and therefore he served them because they were angels. No. Nidle nidmele l'arvayim. They only looked like Arabs to him. That's why he told him to wash their feet, because he wanted to get rid of the idols. So he says, V'anu loy heiram gamliel berabbi emid o'mashka leinu. So he said, I don't understand. Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, why didn't you accept Ram Gamliel's service? If Avraham Avinu could serve people, why can't Ram Gamliel serve us? So Rab Tzadik, at this point, until now he was quiet. He was the third rabbi, he mixed him. And he said, Ad Masi Atam Manichim Kvede Shomakim. For how long will you ignore the honor of Hashem, v'atem eiskim b'kovet abriyas, and you're going to honor people. Meaning like this. Rav Tzadik said, if God can serve us, so people can't serve us. And he said, how does God serve us? He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'ishiv Ruach, Hashem makes the wind blow, Ma'ila Nasiya makes the clouds rise, Meirid Matar makes rain, Matzmiach Adoma makes everything plant, Ve'erich Shulchan Lefnei Kol Echad Ve'echad prepares food, a table of food in front of everybody. Va'anu Lo Yehei Ram Gamliel Berebi Ma'emir Amashka Leinu, and Ram Gamliel can't serve us. In other words, he said like this, it's very good. He said, Rabbi Eliezer refused to get the drink from Ram Gamliel. He said, hey, Ram Gamliel serving us. So Rabbi Yeshua answered him, look, Avraham Avinu served us, right? Served people. So Rabbi Tzadik says, why, what are you talking about people? Hashem himself serves us. So Ram Gamliel can't. Okay? So what do you see from this, bottom line? That Ram Gamliel, who was a Nasi, was serving. That means he was allowed to renounce his order, his honor. Right. Rav Ashi just did a statement that a Nasi shemachal al kvaydei, that a Nasi, a leader, cannot renounce his honor. So the Gemara says, but we found in the story of Ram Gamliel, who was a Nasi, and yet he renounced his order. He was serving them.
But it was his son's wedding. He could do anything he wants,
maybe,
right?
That's the exception, son's wedding.
No, but the Gemara learns that if he wasn't allowed to do it, out of respect, he wouldn't be allowed to do it even though it's his son's wedding
even
either.
Even though it's his son's wedding, he could do anything he wants, right?
No.
Why?
Because the kala paid for the wedding. The kala paid for the wedding.
People would juggle like crazy at the weddings.
First of all, they didn't have a din of a Nasi. Ram Gamliel was a lineage of David HaMelech. Okay, Ram Gamliel was the official head of the Jewish people. Okay? So the Gemara is saying, if he did it, that means you could renounce your honor. How could Rav Ashi say no? So he says like this, the Gemara Taka changes Rav Ashi's opinion. And the Gemara says, Ali I itmar, if you want to say it, this is the way it should be said. Amar Rav Ashi said, Afilu lemandi amar nasi shemachal al kvedet, that even according to the opinion that says that a Jewish leader is able to renounce his order, his honor, but Melech Shemachal HaKavedi, a Jewish king, like David HaMelech, or something like that, that renounces his honor, and Kvedi Mochel. That you can't. A Nasi, yes, meaning like this. The Gemara's conclusion so far. A father, yes. A Rebbe, yes. Even a Nasi, yes, but not a king. Why? Shenama, because the Torah speaks about a king and says, same tosim alecha melech. It's a double expression. Put, you should put the king above you, meaning, shetei masi alecha, the fear and the awe of the king has to be upon you. And therefore, there's a very interesting din. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin about a king that you're not allowed to see him naked, you're not allowed to see him taking a haircut, you can only see a king in his ultimate glory. And therefore, there's an interesting halach, also drama brings up, it's really a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says like this, you have a Kohen Gadol and a king. Okay, these are the two top. Right. Who stands up for whom? So the din is, the Mishnah says, that when a Kohen Gadol, privately, would come into the king stood up. Because the Kohen Gadol was God's like direct representative on earth. But that Mishnah says, and the Rambam says, that's only in private. In public, the king was number one. The Kohen Gadol had to stand up for the king. The king was not allowed to stand up for anybody. Why? Because the Torah, they learned this off in the Pasuk. The Torah says, Som tosim alecha melech, the double expression. It has to be complete awe and respect. Even if he says, sit down, even if he says, you know, do it, whatever, you're not allowed to do it. The reason why Ram Gamliel was able to serve, because he was only a din of a Nasi, he didn't have a din of a Melech. And that's...
Anyway, it makes sense, Rabbi, because, you know, if you don't, your king starts becoming a little bit shaky...
Then the whole thing is...
People will become shaky too.
Well, he brings down over here... From the commentaries explain why this din is like this. A Nasi was elected leader because of his Torah knowledge. We just got through saying because it becomes your Torah, you could forgive it. So a Nasi is not appointed by God. A Nasi is appointed because of his Torah learning. A king, so to speak, is appointed by God. And therefore, like he uses the expression, since the world belongs to God and the kingdom, the world is his, he can renounce his honor. That's, in other words, so the Mefarshim commentators ask, if so, how could God renounce his honor and make things grow and make it rain? And God serves us, because God owns the world, he could do with it whatever he wants. But a king who is appointed by God to be the king, he has to have the complete awe. So in other words, if God wants to serve you, you can let him. But if a king wants to serve you, you can't. Because in that respect, you need more awe for a king, so to speak, than for even for Hashem, so to speak. Hashem serves us.
Was Hashem appointed?
Right. Okay, now we're starting a new Gemara. Tej Lamed Beis, Amed Beis. Two thirds of the way down to two dots.
Rabbi, would you like some?
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Because the Gemara was speaking until now about respecting teachers and parents and leaders and kings and all that, there's another part that says for older people you have to stand up. That died already. That's dead. But anyway, in the...
Suppose you have to stand up when he's like 70, after 70
or something. We'll soon see in the Gemara about all that. Thank you. Sure. Torah Rabban Rabban Alert. It says in the Torah, Mipnei Seva Tokum, for an old man you should rise. Now does that mean a scholar old man, a sinner old man, any old man? You know, like who does it mean? So the Gemara says, Yochel, I would think, Afilu Mipnei Zokin Ashmoi, that even in the, if for an old sinner man you should stand up, Talmud Leimer Zokin. Because what does the Torah say? The Torah uses a double expression. The Torah says, Mipnei Seva Tokum, for an old man you should get up, V'hadarta Pnei Zokin, and you should honor the face of an older man. Now the Gemara says, Zokin means Chochem. Seva means physical age. Zokein, which also in Hebrew means old, means a scholar. Why? Because the Gemara says, Zokein is two words. Ze, kana. That means he acquired wisdom. So, Vein Zokein alachachem, and a Zokein means a smart person. Shenama, like it says in the Pasuk, when the Jews complained that they were sick and tired of the mun, and they wanted to get beef, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, well, I can't handle these Jews anymore. So Hashem said, gather me 70 elders, and they'll take over your, you know, they'll help you. So over there, the Torah uses the expression Zokein, and over there doesn't mean old people, means scholars. So Zokein means scholars. Rabbi Yisi Aglili Yemer, Rabbi Yisi Aglili argues, and the Gemara is going to explain later what the argument is. Ein Zokein ala Mishakana Chochma. Shenama, because it says, Hashem koinoni, Hashem acquired me, meaning wisdom, reishis darka at the outset of his journey. Okay? So basically, the Gemara says like this. You have to stand up for an old person. You have to stand up for an old person, but not if he's a sinner. Not a wicked old man, in other words. So it says like this. Yochol yami mipanav mimakum rochuk. I would think, like, the guy's a mile away, you have to stand up. You know, how far away does he have to be that you can stand up? So it says, Yochol yami mimanav mimakum rochuk. I would think that you have to stand up even if he's far away. Talmud Lema, the Torah says, no. Tokum v'hadarta. Because the Torah says like this, Mipnei seva tokum v'hadarta pnei zokim. So the Gemara learned out, when do you stand if it causes respect? Now if a guy's a block away and you stand up, it doesn't show that you're standing up for the person. When does it show that you're standing up for the person? When he's in front of you. So therefore the Gemara learns, when do you have to stand up for a person? Is when he's like close by, when it's noticeable that you're standing up for him. Like it says, only honor where there's honor. Okay? In fact, Rashi says, how close is it? 4 amos. 6 feet away. When he's within you 6 feet, that's when you have to stand up. Then it says, Adarta, you have to honor him. Yochel, I would think, Yadrena b'mami, that you have to show him favor by giving him money. Maybe it means money. Talmud Lemer, Tokum v'hadarta. It means stand up and honor him. Meaning, just like standing up doesn't cost any money, you have to honor him without costing money. But you're not obligated to honor him if it's going to cost you money. Meaning, just like standing up is when there's no loss of money, standing up doesn't cost any money. The same thing, you could only have to do it when there's no loss of money. Okay? Or the Gemara is going to explain another concept, by the way. Respect is only like where the standing up would honor him. Like the Gemara is going to say, if you're in a bathhouse, okay, an older person walks in, standing up for him without clothes on is not a sign of respect. So over there, you're not obligated to do it. But otherwise, you know, in other words, the Torah says, Tokum v'hadarta, you have to get up only when it's a, by doing so, you're showing respect.
But if he's naked, in what way this is different than honoring the parents?
It's just a separate mitzvah. We're not talking about honoring parents. Honoring parents is also the same. Yeah, but today, parents more or less are assumed to be meichel, to forgive it. I mean, be realistic. You know, when parents today walk into the room, the kids should stand up, really. But they don't. Why? Because there's an assumption, halacha says, that the parents say, you know, it's okay, you don't have to stand up. Even though you should know, but it's interesting, but the Persians, they're much more careful with this, standing up when a parent walks into the room. There, I've seen it by a lot of parent walks into shul, whatever, they'll stand up.
Not as much anymore
because they became Americanized. No, I'm serious. No, years ago in Europe, they had much more respect for anyway, for anybody. Today, respect's dead. You know. No, the truth is, years ago, you walked on a bus. Yeah? An older person walked on, a kid got up. Not only a kid. If a 78-year-old man or woman walked on a bus, a 30-year-old man would get up and give him the seat. If a pregnant woman came on the bus, they would get... I mean, it was like normal. It wasn't something all great. Today, it's dead. It doesn't exist.
See, it's interesting, and I guess other families have different ways of doing things. I hear you completely, and I understand completely.
It's not me. It's what Torah says.
No, I understand. It's like with my folks, for example, we have such a relationship that, I know they're my parents and I do honor them, but we're also like
friends.
Feel comfortable and friends. It's like they're
awkward. That's against halacha, by the way, to be, you know how to call parents by a first name?
No, I don't.
No, I'm saying, but in American society, they do.
Oh, I've heard, yeah.
The truth of the matter is, you shouldn't call in-laws by the first name either. Because there's an obligation of respecting them also.
I mean, in my family...
I don't mean brothers-in-law, I mean father and mother-in-law.
In my family, there's definitely the respect, but it's like very comfortable. It's like, you know, it's almost like my parents...
Years ago, there was a certain distance between parents and kids. There was, years ago, there was like a distance. Today, it doesn't exist. I don't know if it's better or worse.
So what should you call your mother-in-law?
You know what he says, Jonathan Kishner, call whatever you want, just don't call her late to dinner.
for the case of Christmas peace, does that apply to the parents too?
No, we learned before in the Gemara, when you honor them, it has to be from their money, not from, well, the machlokes, but the Gemara Baskin, it's from the parents' money.
So here, so you don't have to spend money.
Right, to honor them, right. But here he's speaking about older people, he's not speaking about parents.
Right.
Yeah. Then he continues and says like this, Yochel Yami Miponov, Mi Besa Kisim, Mi Besa Merchot, I would think that you have to stand up for them. Let's say when they come into the bathroom or a bathhouse, Tamalayim, again the same thing, Tokum Vahadarta, you have to stand up and honor them meaning Le'amarti Kim, Hashem says, the only time I tell you you have to honor them, is, I mean, stand up, is B'mokom She'yesh Hidud, when there's honor given to them by standing up in a bathhouse. You know, it's an interesting thing. In the Ovel, it's interesting, a guy sitting Shiva doesn't stand up for anybody. Nobody.
That's really hard.
Huh?
That's really hard because, you know, it's like you
No, if a great rabbi would walk into the room, let's say, a mourner is not supposed to stand up.
It's king. Hard.
What?
King.
No. A king wouldn't go be Menachem over people, but it says even a Nasi you don't stand up for.
What's yeah.
The leader. A leader.
There's
a reason. I forgot what the reason. I saw it not long ago. I don't remember. Okay, now, the Gemara says like this. Yachol Yatzimeinov. I would think, okay, you know what? If you see an older man coming, I'll close my eyes and then I won't see him. You know, I would think that you can close your eyes and therefore not have to stand up. Kamisha Leiro, as if you didn't see him and therefore. So the Torah says, don't play games with me. Because at the end of the Pasuk it says, V'yareisa melokecha. You should fear God. There's many mitzvahs in the Torah, like it says before, blind man don't put a stumbling block, fear God. This pasuk says, stand up for people, fear God. Why over here does it say fear God? So the Gemara explains in all these places, the Gemara says, the guy will say, oh, I didn't know it was a stumbling block. You know, I didn't know I was giving him bad advice. The Gemara says, listen, God knows what you're playing. Don't play games with God. God knows what your intent was. God knows if you closed your eyes, you didn't close your eyes, you know. So don't play games with it. Davar amosel lelev, things in hidden in the heart. Nama beyereisim elakechon says fear God. To show that, you know, don't close your eyes. You have, if the guy is there, you have to stand up. But now the Gemara says another, an opposite way. Reb Shimon Elazar says, minayin lezokin shelo yatrich. Okay, there's a mitzvah to stand up for the scholar or for the old man. How do I know the scholar shouldn't impose this on the people? In other words, like Gemara is going to explain, it's better for him to go a back way, you know, back door, not to have everybody stand up for him. In other words, the Zokin, even though there's an obligation for people to stand up for him, but he shouldn't make it difficult for them that they should have to stand up.
Can he waive off the application?
Yeah, he could. But it says, "Minayin lezokin shlo yatriach." How do I know that the older person or the scholar, whichever one, should not trouble the people to get up in front of him? Tamaneimar zokin v'yareisa. Again, you should fear God, meaning that even the older person, the scholar, also has to fear God and not make people just stand up for him. Should go out of his way.
What would be the case that Tabul Chacham walks in and you know the majority of people and they're not going to stand up? Can you stand up?
Why can't the person stand up?
Next to other people.
Maybe they'll learn from that. That's not a problem.
The Torah Chaim, they stand up.
Yeah, but a lot of the people, they go yo-yos up and down, up and down. I guess somebody gets up to speak, up and down, up and down. In the Hasidic world, they were never too much into this stuff.
What is the reason, please, that the Rebbe has to go out of his way not to make people stand?
Because Hashem doesn't want you bothering people. In other words, the truth is, he says over here, interesting thing. He must not intend to make the people stand for the sake of self-aggrandizement. Okay? In other words, you're supposed to do it. By the way, from the opposite side, like all the stories we learned before in the Gemara, and there's more stories coming up, yeah? The rabbi didn't, we're going to learn a story about a rabbi going around, the guy didn't stand up, the rabbi was angry at him. Not that the rabbi had an ego problem. The rabbi had to teach his students that you need to stand up, not because of me.
Right.
It's like a parent has to teach a child. The child cannot sit in the parent's seat or whatever he's expected. Yeah, not because the parent needs it. Not they have an ego. The child has to be taught respect. I mean, you know, and the Rebbe and the student the same way. Rebbe, how else is a kid going to know if the Rebbe doesn't teach?
It's it seems to me, and I hope I'm remembering correctly, your rabbi, who was the same as my rabbi in yeshiva, Rabbi David M. Lieberman.
No.
If I'm remembering correctly, when we were older, and he sometimes came in.
But you were in Detroit, I was in Chicago.
Right. We always stood up, but I think if I'm remembering correctly, a lot of times he would come in and go, no.
They say sit down. It wasn't too.
But how often should you stand up?
Oh, the Gemara is going to discuss that later. I don't know if we're going to get there today, but the Gemara discusses not every time, morning and evening. Like once in the morning, once in the evening.
Oh, yeah.
No, because I'll give you an example. You have a yeshiva.
Yeah.
Okay, you have a beis medrash full of bachrim. Okay, a Rosh Yeshiva comes in. But a Rosh Yeshiva goes in and out, especially if he's working in the office, whatever, right? So, no, the Gemara says they learn it out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but even Moshe Rabbeinu only did it with Hashem once in the morning, once at night. But the Gemara later is going to, the Shulchan Aruch talks about it also. Like a Rosh Yeshiva, a Rebbe, right? He walks in and out of the classroom. So not every time he comes in, you have to stand up because it gets out of hand. The first time in the morning, and so to speak, the last time. But during the day, you don't do it. Okay, so up to now, the Gemara said an interesting thing. That the Gemara said an old man who's a sinner, you don't have to stand up for. Because it says Seva and Zake. But Issi ben Yehuda argues.
Who's the judge?
Huh?
Yeah, then it becomes Lashon.
Oh, one second. Issi ben Yehuda, Eimer Issi ben Yehuda says that what Memnei Seva Tokum, Afilu Kol Seva B'mashma. Any old man, whether he's a sinner, not a sinner, you have to stand up for anybody. Okay? Even if he's a sinner. Now, there's two opinions over here in the codifiers what this Gemara means. And this is a very important argument. Rashi learns that it means even a sinner. That when it says you have to stand up, it means even if the old man's a sinner, right, you have to stand up for him anyway. That's what Rashi learns over here. Other people learn you can't be. How do you stand up for an old sinner? See, Rashi says the word ashma'i comes to the word asham. Asham means sin. Carbon asham means a sin offering. Other Rishonim learn asham doesn't mean a sinner. It means an empty person, an ignorant person. So they learn like this. For an old sinner, how could you stand up for an old sinner? He's a sinner. I mean, you're giving respect to a sinner. So they learn that you don't have to stand up for an old sinner. What does it mean, ashma'i, that you have to stand up for? It means he's ignorant. He's not a scholar, but he's not a sinner. Rashi holds, when the Gemara says you have to stand up for an old man, even a sinner, means even a sinner. And the other Rishonim argue, they say it can't mean a sinner. It means an empty person. Meaning if he's not a scholar, you still have to stand up for him, but not a sinner. So now the Gemara asks a question like this. Rabbi Yosi Aglili, before Rabbi Yosi Aglili said, Zokin means a guy who acquires Chochma, and the Chachamim said the same thing. So seemingly Rabbi Yosi in the first opinion is saying the same thing, that an old man who's a scholar you have to stand up for. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Hainu Tanakam, it's the same opinion as the first opinion, that means it's only a scholar. So Gemara says, Ika ben now, the difference is like this, and a very interesting difference. How about if he's younger than you, but he's more scholarly than you? Do you have to stand up or not? Tana Kama Sava, the first opinion says, Yanik v'chakim, if he's young and a scholar, you don't have to stand up for him. Rabbi Yosi Aglili Sava, Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, that even if he's a scholar, even if he's younger, you do have to stand up for him. So in other words, it's a very interesting discussion over here from the halachic point of view. Everybody says, for an old man who's a scholar, for sure you have to stand up. An old man who's not a scholar, Issi ben Yehuda says you have to stand up. Okay? Rashi says it means even if he's a sinner. Now, do you have to stand up for somebody who's younger than you, but more knowledgeable than you, in Torah knowledge? So the Chachamim, the first opinion says no, and Rabbi Yosi Aglili says you have to stand up for him, even though he's younger than you. Then remember we discussed in the Gemara before, what happens if a son is more scholarly than the father, who has to stand up for whom?
Well, the father is supporting his Torah education.
Not necessarily.
He also gave birth to him.
No, but it says, it's interesting, the Halach and Shulchan Aruch, even though it's two opinions, but the Halach says that the kid should still stand up for his father. But the Merami Rutenberg, who was the one that, the whole story about him, unpaid ransom, he was like one of the last Rishonim. He was the one that actually compiled Tesis, the way we have the Tesis now. And then he died in prison. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second. But it says in Halacha that from the day he became the leader of the Jewish people, he refused to go see his father anymore. Because he didn't want his father standing up for him. And his father would only stand up when he walked into the room, and he didn't want his father to stand up for him, so he didn't go.
It's one of the Ten Commandments. This should supersede a son being smart.
No, but the Torah also says you have to stand up for a scholar.
Not of the Ten Commandments.
So he threw his relationship.
Doesn't matter. Too much. I'm sure they had a good relationship. It was a very interesting thing.
No, I mean,
the Merami Rutenberg, from the mayor's name was from the city of Rutenberg. The Goyim in those days used to kidnap, they do this in Mexico today also, they used to kidnap over there, they kidnap scholars, and they would demand from the Jews ransom money. So the Rami Rutenberg was the leader of the Jewish people, was kidnapped by the Goyim in the city of Rutenberg. So they asked a tremendous amount of money for ransom. And Rabbeinu Asher Drosh, who was the son-in-law, went around and raised the money. And they came to him in jail. They came to the Rami Rutenberg and said, you know what, Baruch Hashem, we got the money, and we're going to free you. And the Rami Rutenberg said, I refuse to be released. Because if you ransom me, they're going to keep kidnapping other scholars, and they're going to keep kidnapping. I refuse to be ransomed. He died in jail after many years. He refused to be ransomed. They finally agreed to give him a Sefer Torah and books, and you know, he was able to be okay, but he died in prison, refusing to be ransomed, and it took like something like 20-something years to get his body out, and that was also after they gave a big ransom money to get his body out.
They gave the ransom money?
Yeah, but that was when he was dead.
That's not scary. Wow. But the problem is, in the end, they were ransomed him anyway.
Yeah, they didn't keep his wishes.
They kept his wishes, and not when he was alive, because they weren't interested.
In Israel today, the same problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Problem in Israel, so?
Okay, now the Gemara. Okay. Yeah, okay, well, that's what the Arabs said. My time with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What is the reason why Rabbi Yossi Aglili says you have to stand up for somebody younger than you, if he's a bigger scholar? Because if you think it's like the opinion of the Tanna Kamma that if he's younger you don't have to stand up, why doesn't the Torah say Mimnei Seva Tokum? I'm sorry. Then the Torah should have said Mimnei Seva Zokin Tokum Vadarta. Then it should have said for an old scholar stand up. In one phrase, the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says stand up for an old man and respect a scholar. Now, if the Torah only meant an old scholar, then the Torah should have said, respect an old scholar. What does the Torah say? Respect an old man and a scholar. Which means, even if the scholar is younger, you also have to give him, respect him. So the Gemara says, Maishno, the Pelagina Rachmana, why does the Torah separate between an old man and a scholar? The Meimah, the high love high, that each one is different. Shema Mino, which teaches us, Afilu Yanik V'chochem, even if he's young, but he's a scholar, it's necessary to stand up for him. Okay. Then the Gemara says, the Tanna Kamma. Why does the Tanna Kamma learn what he did, that if the guy's younger than you, you don't have to stand up? He says, Mishim deboy lemismach zokim v'yoreis. The Torah couldn't have done that. Because we just said, it has to say the old man should fear God and not make everybody stand up for him. You know? So therefore they couldn't make the order of the pasuk the way you wanted it. But therefore the Torah says the way it said. But what it means is, only if the guy is older than you, you have to stand up, but not younger.
You have to stand up for somebody younger.
Does it say how much older?
No. It doesn't mean a colleague is a year older. You know what I mean? It means noticeably older. You know, years ago, as my kids would say, in the olden days when I was growing up, did anybody ever call an older person by the first name? Unheard of. Unheard of. To call an older person by a first name. Today, a 20-year-old will call an 80-year-old by the first name. You know, it's like, it's all lack of, by the way, this older respect term doesn't only mean stand up. The term means respect, and that's part of respect. Not to call an old, they would call with a title, you know, whatever it is, they would.
We didn't even call our classmates by their first name. Not because of honor, but that's the way it was.
In our day in Yeshiva, we also called everybody by their last names. Yeah. But the Israelis don't. It's interesting. All the Israeli bachim that came, they called each other the first names. All the Americans, like in my class, everybody was known only by the last name.
Yeah, the first time I saw a kid calling his parents by their first
name. That's not allowed.
It's weird.
My wife, when she was teaching third grade, before we got married, even in New York, that was the third graders were those all those girls that were born right after the Rebbe's mother passed away. So there are 24. That's the Rebbe's wife. I'm talking about the Rebbe's mother.
Oh.
The Rebbe's mother was Chana. So she had a class of 25 kids in third grade. I think 22 of them were Chanis.
Wow.
22 Chanis. So one was Chani, Chana, Le, Chana. But basically she called them by the last name. So you could call Chani. I mean, I'll go, yeah. You know, sometimes.
Well, maybe that's the reason for the boys too.
Maybe.
A lot of them have the.
A lot of them have the same names.
Chani Goldberg.
Yes! Okay. The Tana Kama, my timer. What's the reason why the Tana, why the Chachamim hold that if it's a younger scholar, you don't have to stand up? He said, because in Kain, Yichtev Rachman, let the Torah write, Mipnei Seva Tokum, Vadarta Tokum, Vadarta Pnei Sokin. That the Torah should have written a lot of extra words. Get up for an old man, and get up for a young man, and get. The Torah doesn't say that. Therefore, he learns. The fact that the Torah doesn't say like that, it means only you have to stand up for somebody who is older and wiser. Otherwise, not.
Older and wiser, not more wiser.
Older and wiser.
Has to be old and wiser.
According to the Chachamim, Rabbi Yosi Aglili says older or wiser. Again, but wiser is in Torah knowledge. Is what the Gemara is speaking about, not. Not regular knowledge, not secular knowledge. Okay, now the Gemara says like this: Amar Mar, the Amar Mar we said before in the Gemara, Yochel Yadren B'Mamen. I would think that you have to honor an older person even with money. The Gemara says no, because it's stand up and honor. Just like standing doesn't cost money. The honor doesn't have to cost money. Right? So now the Gemara says, Maki, Meshem, Bechasar, and Kis, just like standing up doesn't entail a monetary loss. Afhidr, Sheem, Bechasar, and Kis, the same thing. This is what the Gemara said before. That we learn out from the Pasuk that the only type of honor you have to do to an older person is if there's no loss of money. And the Gemara said a statement. Just like standing up is not a loss of money. So same thing, no loss of money. So the Gemara is going to ask, sometimes, if you're working in a very expensive job, standing up is also a loss of money. If you're making, let's say, $1,000 an hour, every second is money. You stand up, you're losing money. Right? I mean, so how can you say standing up is not a loss of money? Sigmar says, V'kima lesbar chsarin kis, there's no loss of money in standing up. Mila Yaskinen, are we not speaking about a guy, the Nokiv Marganisa, who is piercing a pearl, which in those days was the highest paid occupation, piercing pearls to put the strings through? It was a very delicate job.
So while he's standing, he's idle from work, so he's losing money. How could you say standing up doesn't cost any money? You can have a job that if you stand up, it's going to cost money. The Gemara says, Ella, it means like this. Akish kima lihida. We liken standing to honor. Mahida she'em be'bitl. Just like honoring does not entail stopping work. Av kima she'em be'bitl. The same thing, standing is when there's no loss of work. And then, Akish nami hida lekima. We liken honoring to rising. Just like rising doesn't have a loss of money. Av hida she'em be'chsarin kis. Okay? So therefore, the Gemara does change the statement. And the Gemara says, you're right. If by standing up, you're going to lose money, or cause a loss of money, you don't have to stand up. And the Gemara says an interesting statement. Mikan Amru, based on this, what the Chachamim said, Ein Baalei Umnis, craftsmen, are not allowed to stand up for a scholar while they're working. They are not allowed to stand. Okay? When they're working. You're not allowed to. Why? So, right away, the commentary is just 1 minute. You're not allowed to. You could write, you don't have to. But what does it mean you're not allowed to? Ein Rishoyim means you're not permitted to.
You're taking money from your boss.
Oh, so the Rishoyim answer is speak if you're working for somebody else. If it's your job, your business, you could stand up as much as you want. But if you're working for somebody else, they're paying you, then you're not allowed to stand up because it's going to take away from your work. And you know this din, by the way, in the Gemara Brachos has a lot of mishnas about this. You know, there used to be guys that worked on top of trees, used to climb up olive trees, palm trees. They would actually climb up in the tree. And the din was that at certain times to daven even, the Chacham said you could daven up in the tree. Because if you come down, and then you have to go back up, you're stealing time from the boss. It's very interesting. Allah is very strict about workers not stealing time from the boss. Today, you know, people make private phone calls and they do private things during work. It's halachically forbidden.
Email,
yeah, texting and this. But halachically it's forbidden, you should know, because you're stealing from the boss. You know, the Gemara goes even more. You know, the benching has the first three brachas, and then until Bnei Avraham Yishleim Amen, and then you have the fourth bracha. Many times the Chacham said workers did not have to say the fourth bracha benching, because that would take time away from the boss.
What is the fourth bracha?
Hakel Avinu, all the Rachamans, you know, all that.
You know, when I was working in downtown one time, there was a particular building that had a minyan. That mincha, they never daven tachanun.
Never. A lot of people don't. No, a lot of people have a custom of not to.
For the reason is because they're working?
No, a lot of people just don't say tachanun mincha.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, Chabad is one of the few people that do, in fact.
We say tachanun.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Not everybody says. What?
What if the guy is standing on top of the tree? Does he still have to stand up? If he's sitting picking up dates on top of the tree?
No, he doesn't have to go down. He could daven on the tree.
No, I mean, if he's a scholar or an old man, does he have to stand up?
The scholar won't even see him standing.
Oh, that's more than 6 feet.
No, it's come. You call down, he says, I'm standing up for you. Okay, so now the Gemara says, okay, so we just got through saying a statement that workmen, craftsmen, don't have to stand up. Yeah, so the Gemara is going to ask from a Mishnah, Bikurim, that says they did stand up. So the Gemara says, V'lay, but now we learned in the Mishnah, Bikurim, it says like this, when the guys used to bring the first fruits, you know, to Yerushalayim in the midst of Bikurim, so there's a whole procedure in the Mishnah. They used to meet along the way, and they used to walk together in a parade, and they would take the front of the parade was an ox, and they would adorn the horns of the ox with the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, and it says the Mishnah says that when they walked by, all the people in the field would stand up for them and greet them. So the Gemara said, we just got through saying here during work, you're not allowed to stand up even for a scholar. Right? That's what we just got through saying. So the Gemara says, Vatanan, Kobali, Umnis, all the craftsmen, aimed the Mipnam, would stand up in front of the people, you know, that they brought Bikurim, Vishalim, Bishleimam, and would ask about them, how are you doing, you know? Ve'aimim, and the people would say, Achein, Anshima, complain, our brothers from such and such a place, Be'achim, Mishalim, may you, you know, you should come in peace. What do we see from there? That they did stand up for the people bringing Bikurim. So how can you say for scholars, you don't have to stand up? So Rabbi Echon says, you're right. They didn't stand up for scholars. They stood up only for the people bringing Bikurim. But not for scholars. The first fruits. One second. On the contrary, the Mishnah says they stand up for them and not for the scholars. Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Abba says, we learn from here a different din. Bei Ura'ei Kama Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. Look how precious a mitzvah is while it's being performed. Meaning, in the process when you're doing the mitzvah. Why? Shai Mipneihem Eindim. For the craftsmen of Yerushalayim would stand up when these people came, but mipnei tamidei chachamim ein eindim, but not in the presence of scholars. Aye, they're learning, but this is a mitzvah. Mitzvah is more precious than the learning. So the Gemara says, no. It's not a 100% proof. Why? You know why over there they would have to stand up for them when they brought Bikurim? Because if they didn't get respect, they would not bring Bikurim anymore. Scholars would learn whether you stand up for them or not. But the people had to schlep all the way from Eretz Yisrael, all the way to Yerushalayim, to bring the new fruits. So Gemara says, Dilma Shani also, maybe over there is different. They're not going to bring Bikurim in, because if they felt the people in Yerushalayim did not appreciate them bringing Bikurim, maybe they wouldn't come anymore. So it would stop a mitzvah. But for scholars, you don't have to stand up. But the bottom line of the Gemara is very interesting. For scholars, craftsmen don't stand up. But for people bringing Bikurim, you stand up.
They're both mitzvah.
Yeah, but this is learning and this is mitzvah. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Amar Mar, we said before in the Gemara like this. Yachol Yamim Mipanim Beisek Kisim Beisek Merchus. I would think you have to stand up when they're in the bathroom. So he said, right, it's not a respectable standing up, so you don't. So Gemara said, Velay, I'll show you that you have to stand up for somebody even in the bathroom or in the bathhouse. Why? The famous Rabbi Chiya was standing in the bathhouse.
I asked that question.
I know, but I haven't told you what the Gemara said then. The Gemara's not done yet. Rabbi Chiya was sitting in the bathhouse. Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rebbe, walked by, and Rabbi Chiya didn't stand up. He was in the bathhouse, even though Rabbi Shimon was like his Rebbe, but he didn't stand up. And Rabbi Shimon was angry. He was upset. That, what do you mean you didn't stand up for me? So Rabbi Shimon, Rebbe's son, snitched, because Rabbi Chiya was also a student of Rebbe. And Rabbi Shimon was Rebbe's son, but he was like greater than Rabbi Chiya. Okay? So Rabbi Shimon is walking by, Rabbi Chiya is sitting in the bathhouse, doesn't stand up. So Rabbi Shimon went home and said, you know, father, he didn't stand up for me. V'asa Amalei Avu, he said to his father, like, listen to this. Shnei chum shenisilei b'sefer tilim. I taught Rabbi Chiya 2/5 of Tehillim. Now, Tehillim is divided into 5 books. You know, you have the 5 Kadeshim, right? You have 5 books of Tehillim. Okay? Similar to Chumash. Okay? So Rabbi Shimon says to his father, I understand. I taught Rabbi Chiya 2/5 of Tehillim. So I'm his Rebbe, yeah? And he didn't stand up for me. He says, Shanisile, I taught Rabbi Chiya 2/5 of Tehillim. And he didn't stand up for me. And then he says, Vesu, about these, by the way, Rashi explains, what do you mean he taught in Tillim? He didn't teach him what the words mean. He took all the Medrashim, you know, the Medrash on the Tillim. Vesu, and then the Gemara says another story that happened. By Kapara, or some people say that Shmuel by Yesi, again, they were sitting in a bathhouse. The same Rab Shimon Rabbi walked by. They come, and they didn't get up. The ikpid, and again he got angry. Rab Shimon. He said, came home to his father, and he said, I understand. Two-thirds of a third, meaning 2/9. Of the Medrash of Vayikra, Teres Kerem, I taught him, Le'amen Mipanai, and they didn't stand for me. He snitched. So what did his father do? What did Rabbi do? He answered, V'amalei Shema Bahem Yeshiv Mahadir. Maybe, you know why he didn't stand up? Maybe he was deep in thought, and he didn't see you. No, why are you judging him negatively? So maybe they didn't see you.
Was he even allowed to tell his father in that Lashon Hara?
Yes, huh?
He wanted his father to teach the guys to stand up.
Why should people stand up for him? Was this guy that important?
Because
his father was a great Rebbe, and he was,
Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel. One second. So Gemara says like this, but if that's the case, that means though you would have to stand up if you noticed them. What did Rabbi say? Maybe there was... Which means, again, you have to stand up in the bathhouse.
Right, he didn't say that.
The only reason is because they were sitting and thinking. Maybe, but otherwise you would have to stand up. But we just got through saying no. So he said like this, like Kasha. It depends what type of the bathhouse. In the bathhouse, there are two sections. One where they still wear the clothes. That was the outside section. And what was the inside section? Where there's no clothes. So he said like this. When is the halacha that you don't have to stand up in the inside section where nobody's wearing clothes? And the outside section where people are wearing clothes, over there you do have to stand up. So Rebbe said, so why didn't they stand up? Because they were probably, didn't notice you, they were probably thinking and then they didn't realize you were there. But over there, so the Gemara is answering a little bit different. When is it then you don't have to stand up in a bathhouse in the section where nobody's wearing clothes? So that's not respectful. In the outside section where people are dressed, over there you do have to stand up. Like in the waiting room.
So maybe they didn't stand up because they were in the place where there was no clothes.
No, but obviously the case was not. If not, you wouldn't...
Right.
So now, to put in practical terms, in the waiting room, you would have to stand up. But not in the actual bathhouse. And he said like this, Hachinami Mistabe, so it's logical to assume that they are in the outer chambers of the bathroom. Why? What did Rebbe say to his son? You know why they didn't stand up? Because they were thinking Torah. In a bathhouse, you're not allowed to think Torah.
Right.
So obviously, where were they? In the outer rooms. Hachinami Mistabe, Amir Abarbachanam Rabbi Echanan. You're allowed to think Torah in every place, except in a bathhouse and in a bathroom. Because the degrading, you know, place, you're not allowed to think.
Does this have something to do with why people don't talk in the mikvah?
Yeah.
I know some people don't like to talk in the mikvah.
Or in the bathroom.
Yeah, but even just like...
It says in Shchunach you shouldn't talk.
Was
that? It says in Shchunach you shouldn't talk, but everybody does. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara adds one detail. And the Gemara says, but dimul unseshani. Maybe they couldn't stop themselves from thinking. They're such great tzaddikim, they're always thinking Torah. Tell a guy in a bathhouse he can't. I don't know. The Gemara says you don't have a proof either way. Because maybe over there, they couldn't stop themselves from thinking. There's the Rogachover, there's a very interesting thing. His brain always kept going. So during the week, he had brainstorms. He was able to write them down. Shabbos, he couldn't write. So when he got new brainstorms, he was trying to remember the old brainstorms. So he had a massive headache every Shabbos. And he says Shabbos, he wore a wet rag around his head to calm his headache. because he was a headache from just he couldn't stop learning. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Maybe here is different.
Yeah.
Okay.